brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
Oh, what a great, warming welcome.
Yeah.
Except from that guy in the corner. What, like, yeah. What is up with that?
Hey, wake up, Dave.
Whatever.
Welcome, everyone, to another sud segment where if someone points their finger at you, they probably want you to pull it.
Ooh.
No sound effects for that?
Fart.
He is all over it today.
Wow, he is. Okay.
Sorry, I haven't had my first beer yet. Oh, wait, I've only had one beer yet, so.
That's the problem?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to work on that in a minute.
Some people need coffee to get going. I need a beer.
Or 20.
Yeah.
I am one of your hosts, Good Old Gal Juliana, and joining me today at the table is... I'm waiting. Do I have any sounds? No.
No. Wow. I don't know what you're doing here.
I thought Maybe we'd have some sounds. Oh.
There's one.
Man. Okay. All right, fine. Good old boy Kendall. Hello. How are
you? Hello. It's wonderful to be here. And I'm looking forward to these beers in front of us.
I know. Me too. Reverend Mark. Hello. How are you?
Hello. It's good to be here.
I never played a sound, but you guys talked over it, so you get no more sounds today.
No more sounds for you.
No sounds for you.
Good old boy Dave, hello.
Hello-ness!
Where is that from?
I'm not giving away my secret.
Isn't that okay. Animaniacs? That's what I thought.
Okay. Wow, I guess we are giving away my secrets.
We're just doing all sorts
of... Well, they're not secret if I know them, right?
True. Well,
but it was a secret from her.
As if. Okay. Well, today's episode is a brewery takeover. We're going to head to North Olmsted, Ohio, and visit Fathead's Brewery and Saloon. Mike. Good old boy Dave, why don't you tell us about Fathead's?
Good old boy Mike.
Sure. In 1992, Glenn and Michelle, I don't know their last name because they didn't put it on the website, had this crazy idea that a craft beer bar and restaurant would be a great adventure. Fathead's,
good old boy Mike,
was born. A few years later, Fathead's,
good old boy Mike,
doubled in size. One day, Glenn and his friend Matt were sharing their dreams of brewing great beer, and something clicked. They opened a brew pub, and before you could blink an eye, accolades were flowing along with the great beer. Just a couple years passed before a full-scale production brew was opened, and Fathead's,
good old boy Mike,
became available to the clamoring masses. Fast forward another few years, and Matt, Glenn, and their team took a deep breath and built a brewery twice as large with an amazing beer hall and restaurant. About a million...
Details
have been left out, and twice as many Fathead's,
good old boy Mike,
have beer poured. Fathead's. Okay, so here's a timeline. Fathead's,
good old boy Mike,
South Shore Saloon, founded September 11th, 1992, in Pittsburgh South Side. Thank you. Fathead's,
good old boy Mike,
brewery and saloon opened its doors in Cleveland on April 7th, 2009. A production brewery was built to keep up with the ever-increasing demand by Fathead's beer.
Good old boy Mike.
In 2012. The tap house inside Fathead's,
good old boy Mike,
production brewery opens in October 2013. Fathead's,
good old boy
saloon
Mike,
celebrates 25 years of food, fat, and fun. Wow, that's weird. In Pittsburgh 2017. And our latest stop brings us to Canton, Ohio, Hall of Fame, with a new brew pub opening March 12th, 2018. That was painful. I can't read.
Well, you were having to, you know, take the time to press the button the whole time.
That's true.
Multitasking is tough at times.
I'm not good at that.
Especially when you don't have a lot of beer in your system.
That's true. We should probably...
We'll work on that.
Let's move this along to the beer part.
Moving along.
Less talky, more drinky.
Join the movement.
Join the movement. Reverend Mark, would you mind telling us the lineup for today?
I'd be happy to. All right. The Fatheads.
Good old boy Mike.
Brewery. The beers that we will be tasting and discussing today are... Groovy Juice Hazy IPA with a 7.1% ABV. Codename Special Hopperation. I think I've got that right. Yeah. Operations Hazy IPA, 7.1% ABV. Headhunter IPA, 7.5 ABV. Bumbleberry Honey Blueberry Ale, say that 10 times.
Or once.
Yeah. 5.3% ABV. Strange Magic IPA, 6.5 ABV. Sunshine Daydream Session IPA at 4.9% ABV. And rounding it up, the Benjamin Danklin IPA at 7.4%
ABV. That sounds like it should have cannabis in it.
Yeah.
Benjamin Danklin.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm.
And whenever we say Sunshine Daydream, I'm going to be thinking of Daydream Believer from the Monkees.
Me too. Yeah.
That's quite a list of IPAs. Guys are known for a lot of IPAs. So I'm glad we get to taste them all. It seems like all of them.
Six IPAs and then a fruity honey beer.
Yeah. They're very IPA-centric.
I have never had any beers from this brewery. Has anyone else tried them?
I know I've had the Headhunter at GABF, but the rest are not familiar to me.
I have had, according to my records here, the Trailhead Pale Ale some time ago.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, thank you, Reverend Mark, for that. That was excellent as ever. Good old boy Kendall, would you mind giving us the Suds ratings for today?
All right. We'll be discussing and rating these beers with these Suds ratings, plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. 1, that sucks. Give me anything but a bud. 2, was that a belch? 3, what a relief. 4, a body should really not make that sound. And 5, listen to that hang time. Give me another.
So did you want me to play this when you did the pull the finger thing? Because that would have worked, I guess, but it kind of gives away it cheapens the ratings.
Okay. And
there's a lot of scientific thought that goes into that.
I guess you're right.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm so sorry. Well, all right, on to the good stuff. First of all, before we even get to the beer, I gotta say,
we're not drinking beer.
We are drinking beer.
Oh, sorry.
But I'm just saying, before we get to the beer, I just want to say their website is so user friendly, and I'm one that enjoys a very user friendly website when looking up information.
Well, and it's rare. With a lot of breweries do not put a lot of time and attention to their websites.
Not at all. Most brewery websites are just pretty much garbage and useless. If you're trying to find out information about them or the beer, it's usually impossible.
Yeah. Go to our Facebook page. No, I don't want to go to your Facebook page.
Right. I don't even
go to a freaking website. You're a business.
Right.
Yeah, except for, you know, the breweries that during the pandemic were, you know, you could order beer to go. So those, they were kind of forced, some of them, to where you could go online and
spend a little time on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I agree. Most are. You just need to go there.
Yeah. So, Fatheads.
Good old boy, Mike.
Thank you so much for a very easy, user-friendly website.
Well done. If your beer is as good as your website, this is going to be a very nice episode.
All right. Let's get into this. So, first thing we're going to start off with is the Groovy Juice Hazy IPA.
It's hazy.
Clocking in at 7.1% ABV. It is juicy, hoppy, groovy. Their IPA lets you groove on the move and satisfies your haze craze for days. Light in color with a luscious soft body, enormous juicy and tropical notes from Citra's, Mosaic, and Azaka hops.
I like this.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
You can taste the groovy.
Yeah. It's not too sweet.
No.
That's one thing that I'm kind of over, like with a lot of the hazy IPAs, is just they're just sweet.
I'm with you. It's like I don't mind hazy, I don't mind the tropical or juicy, but some of them or most of them finish so sweet. I can't even drink one of those big giant cans they put them in. It's like, you know, give me some bitterness. And the ones I prefer, and I think that's because my real introduction to the hazy New England style were the Alchemist beers.
Yeah.
And those things, you know, you talk about Heady Topper, Focal Banger, which is my favorite.
Nice balance.
Really nicely balanced. And they've got a solid bitterness on top of everything else that they're doing.
Reverend Mark, what do you think?
I think it's not overly sweet, as we've already noted. And I think there's just a real kind of a juicy, fruity aspect to it, but it's, again, not on the sweet side as much as just lemony, a little bit tropical. Yeah. Like it.
And I'm feeling that passion fruit.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
He's got a passion for passion fruit.
But it's there. Mm-hmm. This is, the balance on this is nice. And I think with all the overindulgent flavors that we've had over the past year, it's just nice to get back, you know. Yep. Yes, I love my Pilsners, but this is nice because this is balanced.
It's hazy, but it tastes like an IPA.
Yeah, it does. I like that little bitterness at the end. And I also like the creaminess. It's not too creamy. Mm-hmm. It just kind of softens everything out, and you're just on a really good wave.
Just slides right through.
Well, we are going to rate the Groovy Juice Hazy IPA from Fatheads a 4.
Good start. Man, good website, good IPAs. Come on.
It's going to be fun.
Good start.
We'll be right back with more in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. So today's episode is really cool. We're going to be where we are in the middle of talking about Fatheads.
Good old boy Mike.
Brewery and Saloon from Ohio. Although actually it originated in Pittsburgh.
So another great thing that came out of Pennsylvania. Was it? Juliana. Well, the brew pub started in Pittsburgh, but they brew in Ohio. So, I don't know. Does that make them international? I don't know how that works.
I thought it was that North Olmsted was the original location. Is that just where they're at?
That's the production brewery now?
That's the home base. For brewing.
They've only ever brewed in Ohio, that North Olmsted. But their brew pub started. Pubs. Yeah, so they just started like a tap room first. The original.
Can't wait to taste the rest. That first one was great.
Okay, so let's move on to Codename Special Hopperations Hazy IPA. This one is a seasonal. They collaborated with a Breakside Brewery from Oregon with this, and they call it Mission Objectives, creating a great tasting hazy IPA as a salute to American veterans everywhere. They donate a portion of the sales to Honor Flight Network, a nonprofit organization dedicated to transporting U.S. military vets to visit the memorials honoring the wars in in which they fought.
It's a great,
how cool
great
is that, right?
That's an amazing cause.
7.1% ABV.
Totally different from the last one.
And it really kind of surprises me that it's even 7.1. It's very light tasting.
Yeah. Still good, but it's not as juicy or tropical as the last one.
If you wouldn't have told me hazy was in the name, I would not have guessed that this is in that style. To me, this is just a great, nicely drinking IPA, especially at 7.1%. It's just a really easy drinking, smooth, clean, bitter IPA.
It's not as hazy as the other one. It doesn't have the same mouthfeel, but still very good.
Yeah, it's not chock full of fruit. Tropical aspect.
It's almost that classic pine and citrus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It does have a
tastes good.
Excuse me. It does finish with a little kind of a resiny mm-hmm. aspect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, this does have Mosaic. Simcoe and Strata hops.
Simcoe.
That Simcoe is the one doing it.
Mm-hmm. That's the one that got you.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. What do you think, Juliana?
This is another nice one, and it's not too over the top. You know, again, getting back to IPAs, this is a good everyday drinker, you know?
Yeah, 7.1%. I'm kind of with Reverend Mark, like, you wouldn't necessarily think this would be 7.1. You put a few of these down, though.
Yeah.
You might have to take a nap.
Then you might be doing a perp walk somewhere later.
Wow. No, but this is solid. You know, again, another balanced IPA. It's not too hoppy. It's not too dank. I like the finish on it. It just ends. It doesn't linger, right. You know. And
it almost dries out.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. 2 for 2. Mm-hmm. Dang.
Yeah. Super solid.
That's awesome. So, the Codename Special Operations Hazy IPA from Fatheads, we are going to rate a 4.
And you know, collaboration beers are a lot of times pretty hit or miss, too, because you would think, like, wow, two great breweries got together and brewed a beer and it'd be amazing. But it's like, you know, when two really hot people have a baby, and sometimes the baby's kind of ugly.
Well, that's such a good analogy, Dave. I like
that. Wow.
I just made that up. So if anybody wants to use that.
But let's talk about what collaboration really means in the industry. Sometimes it is two breweries really work together on the recipe. They do some pilot brews. They come together and they, you know, bring their own ingredients and they brew. Other times it's a brewery making a beer and the folks from the other brewery just come to town to party and they drink beer while the brew staff is making the beer. And
that's true.
There's not a lot of collaboration other than the fact that they just partied together while they were brewing.
Out of courtesy, they throw their name on it.
Like, there's two different kinds of collaborations. Both are very equally valid. There's room for both. But,
Well, this one was a really good collaboration. It makes me want to go and try some Breakside now, you know?
Breakside is fantastic. I've had it when I was in Oregon. Really, they do some really good beers.
I think somebody brought us some Breakside. We tried once. And we may have had them at GABF too.
Okay, so. Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Okay, moving on. Let's go to the Headhunter IPA from Fatheads. It is an aggressively dry-hopped West Coast IPA with a huge hop display of pine, grapefruit, citrus, and pineapple. Mm. It punches you in the mouth for those who truly love their hops. It is uncivilized, aggressive, and award-winning. So this has won a few silvers at the World Beer Cup over the years and won silver and bronze at GABF as well.
I could see that.
Yeah.
And just looking at it, I can say, yeah, that's a West Coast.
Yeah. So this has got Simcoe, Centennial, Yukonot, Mosaic, Citra, and Chinook. It's got all the hops.
All the hops. And you can smell it. I mean, when I just savor the aroma for a good 30 seconds on this beer, because this smells like what a Northwest IPA smells like. Yeah. You know, that the ones that were coming out of Oregon and Washington back in the day that were just super hoppy.
This could be a Deschutes beer.
Any of those breweries up there were doing them in this style, just big and resinous and piney, and they're wonderful beers.
You don't see enough of those these days. Man.
Yeah, I think a Hair of the Dog. I don't know if they're around anymore.
Oh, yeah. They made a great one. But yeah, but there's that you touched on it, Reverend Mark, the caramel malt in there, that you need that little bit of sugary sweetness to balance out just that aggressive bitterness.
Yeah.
And those flavors play so well together. There's a reason. I mean, this was one of the biggest styles out there probably 10 years ago. And I'm glad to see people are still making it.
And to me, this kind of indexes on my taste buds pretty well with, to me, one of the benchmarks is Firestone Walker.
Mm. Well, that's high praise. Reverend Mark didn't throw out the old F-dub.
You know, this is interesting. So when this was popular 10-ish years ago, right, I was getting into beer. And prior to that, you know, my beer history was very limited to what was available back home, which was like Yingling and, you know, other things. And then when I moved down here to Tennessee, there wasn't a lot of offerings in Nashville at the time. I mean, this is, you know, late 90s, right? So I would have to venture out, you know, and I did. But the West Coast IPAs, I just was a little scared of, I think, because of how big they were. And coming from basic beers, it was like too much hops, you know?
They were out there back in the day.
For me and my palate. Okay, so, you know, then I become more educated. I start brewing. I learn more about hops and hop flavor, blah, blah, blah. And then we get into this, like, excessively sweet stuff. And, you know, in the beginning it was great. And now I want something different. So now smelling this and bringing back the memories of the first time I had a West Coast IPA or Northwest, you know, and now tasting it, I can appreciate this even more. But this is balanced, and that little bit of caramel sweetness really does help mesh everything together and make it not excessive, you know, on one end or another.
Yeah, I like what you said about coming out of normal beers, you know, like, if you were like a macro lager drinker, I don't think you could go straight to this beer because it would kind of burn you up.
No, and it did. I mean, it honestly did. I could take like two sips of it and say, oh my God, this is like foul. Yeah. And, you know, the people around me would be like, oh, you just don't know anything about beer. And honestly, at the time, I didn't know anything about beer, you know, minus the macros.
Not, but your palate knows what it's like. Yeah. So,
but your palate's got to be tuned up. It's like anything else. You know, you have to tune your palate up, and sometimes you have to grow into some things, you know.
And this beer goes back to the start of the arms race of, let's see how bitter we can make our beer.
Yeah.
You know, and I think of the classic example was the Green Flash Palate Wrecker.
Green Flash.
My gosh. Yeah. So bitter and just so aggressive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hard to enjoy.
And there's, you know, there's some conjecture over, you know, how much you can really detect once you get beyond 100 IBUs.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that Green Flash pushed it way beyond that for sure.
But this does remind me of some of those like Rogue beers.
Yep. I was thinking that Rogue is for sure. You said Deschutes. Thinking about some of the smaller breweries I've had up there, like No Lie and Spokane, all have really great beers like this. And they still have them on the tap list because they're classic styles.
Absolutely.
It's not as trendy anymore, but they're sticking around. And if not, maybe coming back.
100%. Well, things swing like a pendulum, you know. So we went from super hoppy bitter and then to the juicy, hazy, sweet beers. And so, you know, hopefully we're swinging back a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, to me, retro is back. And now I have a better appreciation for this style of beer. And I'm really digging it. I mean, and my glass is empty. So that.
People are buying cassettes.
Drinking in silence, meaning, give me which some more.
Is not great radio, but it is great beer. So,
well, the Headhunter IPA from Fatheads, we are rating a 5.
That's an absolutely great example of what this style should be.
Okay, so now we're going to go a little different, and we are going to go to the Bumbleberry Honey Blueberry Ale.
So we're slightly shifting gears, just a bit. It smells nice. I like the blueberry.
So this one is also part of their all year round. It does come in a can, though. Of note, we did happen to get this in a bottle. Just FYI. So this is brewed with fresh harvested spring honey and infused with fresh blueberries. It's light and refreshing with a nice blueberry aroma, malt flavors, and sweetness from that. They only use Sterling hops in the grist, which is nice. I mean, because you really don't need anything crazy. And it's 5.3% ABV.
I'm glad this is right in the middle of the flight, actually.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Nice shift.
It's kind of a buffer.
Yeah.
And I get the aroma. I mean, blueberry nice is really blueberry. Very delicate. I mean, a lot of the time it just isn't there.
Yeah.
Even though it's advertised as such.
And or it's overkill and it's fake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, I get this. Yeah,
it tastes like blueberry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is kind of like the way it smells when you put really warm blueberries on top of a stack of hot pancakes.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Dang, you know that smell?
Yeah.
We need to make some pancakes.
That blueberry aroma on the nose is so gentle and so nice and clean. And it comes through in the flavor, too. It's noticeable, but it doesn't overwhelm the beer anyway.
It's a nice compliment to what's going on.
And the smell is very realistic and the taste is so authentic. Like, I was afraid that there was going to be an artificialness to the blueberry, but this is so nice.
Dang.
It really, really is. And the wheat backbone is there, you know, that creaminess and that earthiness that you get from a good solid wheat beer.
Yeah, and the wheat is really essential for this concoction because it kind of provides a more of a neutral background, you know, a drier, more neutral background. So,
And the honey, too, has certainly helped dry this beer up because so many fruited beers lean to the sweet side. And with the honey in there and the yeast just attack that, eat it up. Mm-hmm. And it really dries up the beer without giving it some flavor. That all works really well with the blueberry.
Nice clean finish on it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's yeah. Beautiful. Really, I mean, really solid. And if you think about not necessarily the palate records that we've had before, but the big hoppy beers that we've had prior to this, for somebody that might be a little hesitant, you know, or, oh my gosh, is this all I'm going to have is hoppy beers? This is a nice departure. And this is a good gateway into what they do. I mean, because up to this point, I feel like there's a lot of love that's going into these beers. They're not just making them for the sense of putting something in a can. I mean, these are dialed in recipes, and this is a really nice addition to their arsenal.
Yeah, no, and it's nice to see that they can do something well other than IPAs.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, this is a good one to have in their portfolio.
Well, we are going to rate the Bumbleberry Honey Blueberry Ale from Fatheads a 4.
Oh boy, Mike.
Okay, so now
we're on quite a roll with these ratings, right?
Fours and fives, man.
Yeah, this is a solid flight so far.
Three fours and a five. So, this is kind of scaring me. Like what's coming next?
Yeah, did we front load the good beers up front?
Yeah. So. This is like the Aldi show all over again.
Or it could be the Edmunds O show where everything was fantastic.
Like a perfectly magical day.
Oh, ever the optimists you guys are. Yeah. All right. Well, let's start to talk about the Strange Magic IPA. This one's clocking in at 6.5%.
Look at that song, Strange Magic. Strange Magic.
I think of Strange Brew.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It's a different kind of beer.
Yeah.
Was that, and that was Clapton, was that?
Strange Brew, yeah.
That was Bob was that Derek oh. or in the Dominoes or no? No, or that was Cream.
That was Cream.
Yeah, Strange. Yep.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the Bob and Doug McKenzie movie.
Take Off, Hoser.
Yeah, that was on like Disraeli Gears.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Man, that album.
Oh, man. The reflectiveness of that album alone.
Just, yeah. Let's take a trip down Amnesia Lane.
No. The song I'm talking about was Strange Magic by ELO.
There you go.
That's right.
Can't sing much of it. We'll have to pay him money. We ain't got any money.
You can't sing much of it regardless.
Oh.
Wow.
How about that? How about that for you, partner? You guys wanted sounds? Now you're going to get the sounds.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, this is another year-round beer offering from them. The magic is in their masterful combination of hops that create this ridiculously good IPA. The strange thing is how they get as much of it as they do into cans before drinking it all themselves. Ha ha. Okay. 6.5% ABV, and they are using Warrior Mosaic Simcoe Pellet Citra and Leaf and Cryo. Oh, wow. So they're using all versions of the Citra hop.
All the hops.
Mm-hmm. Nice. This might be the best one so far, in my opinion.
I haven't even tasted it, but it smells beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, don't you want to wear this like all day long?
Mm-hmm. I want to put it behind my ears. Yes.
I'm just going to pour it down my shirt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Pardon us, audience, for a moment while we all just savor this beer.
While we luxuriate.
What was the ABV on this?
This 6.5. Yeah.
That's perfect.
It is,
seven,
right?
Once you get to 7% on beers, you know, you still have really good ones, obviously, from what we've already tried, but six around the sixes is where I think you can have several beers. Mm-hmm. You know, several pints of a beer and still enjoy it, not feel, you know, too, you know, wasted. But, but because I definitely would like to drink, you know, several of these.
Yeah. Yeah. Three in a row. Isn't that the rule? Like if you can drink three in a row and still want
some more?
More. Yeah.
We'll have more thoughts on this beer in just a minute.
That means I would like literally every beer I've ever had. It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Today's episode is...
Thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you weren't talking to me, were you?
I was talking to our listeners.
There. That's a big assumption.
There's a couple. Yeah. I mean, you know, there might be five.
Wow.
What? You think I'm stretching it?
Don't gild the lily.
The lily is gilded. Yes.
When it this comes to... This is confusing and weird.
It's definitely dead.
Are you telling me that I'm dead, or is the lily dead?
It's just this topic.
Whatever. So today's episode is a brewery takeover of Fathead's Brewery.
Little boy Mike.
And Salem, which originated in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but has now moved to Ohio. Well, and is based in Ohio, I should say.
Well, it's in both.
Okay. Well, both.
They're international.
Do you consider Pennsylvania and Ohio international?
Or bicoastal?
All right. Why don't you give up while you're ahead, dear?
Continental?
Now he's just throwing out geography terms.
Intergalactic?
Yeah, they're intergalactic. Okay, so the beer that we started talking about before the break was the Strange Magic IPA.
Strange Magic.
There he goes again.
There, I mean... Ladies and gentlemen, this is a Jeff Lynne imposter.
Take it to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That's right. Hey, they're in Canton, so.
Well, the North Olmsted is really close to Cleveland, where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is. So I think we should go up there and visit it.
I think we should.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well.
We could go to South Philly, or South Pittsburgh. I almost said South Philly. That would probably make those guys mad, wouldn't it?
Are you done?
Parts of the state.
Are you done?
Is Pennsylvania the only state where the east and west sides hate each other as much as you guys obviously do?
We don't hate each other.
Do you look down on them, though?
I don't look down on them.
You say it's the wrong side of the state.
Very different sides of the state.
The great thing about my home state is the uniqueness of the east side and the west side. They are two completely different.
So when did you decide to run for office? That was, that was the most freaking political answer I've ever heard.
I'm trying to be nice.
Okay.
I'm trying to be nice, but yes, I'm
South side of Pittsburgh, man.
I will always
it's a great area.
Yeah, yeah. I will always be an east side girl. Sorry. Okay, so this Strange Magic IPA, which is coming in at 6.5.
Do we have any more?
ABV. Yeah, you want some more?
I do, please. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fine now.
I mean, this is another just great, I hate to keep using the word classic IPA, but it is. It's so good. It's
now this one,
little bit more mouthfeel than your standard, you know, West Coast IPA. Little creaminess to it, but it's still got all those flavors. It's got the caramel notes, piney, resiny, grapefruit.
There's a little sweetness to this
one,
too.
A little bit, yeah.
But it's not, see, that's the cool thing is like, it's got some sweetness to it, but it doesn't. The sweetness doesn't dominate the beer.
No,
I think it's like there's a simplicity of beauty to it that holds the complexity.
Yeah,
you're not like overwhelmed by. I mean, there's a lot going on, and yet it finishes just kind of on a one note. That's good for me.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a good analogy of it. Again, I'm impressed by how balanced it is. On the tongue, you see the flavors as they're coming over, but they're not like one isn't dominating the other. They're all working well together. And to me, with a lot of IPAs or some IPAs, it's hard because one is more dominant than the other. And you're trying to like, if there's a malt that you're like, oh, this has this malt, it must be really good. You're fighting to find that malt in the beer. But this one, again, you know, as all of the other ones previous to this, they're balanced. They're dialed in. They're really well done.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they're not like going crazy into the adjuncts or crazy, you know.
Yeah.
They're good, solid beers from good, solid brewers.
Absolutely. And I like what you said about, like, if there's a malt that you like, you look for it. Because I like Maris Otter because I love the taste of otter. Okay. So if I don't taste, you know, that distinct note of otter in a beer, I don't believe it has Maris Otter in it. So
is that without the oil or with the oil?
I'm not going to get into all that because I am trying to watch my figure, but okay. So no oil, but you got to take what you got to take the good with the bad.
So if you like the Maris Otter, you kind of like a little biscuit aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Biscuit. 100%. 100%.
But I'm curious to what the other two are going to taste like. But these guys, obviously,
so far,
they know how to make IPAs.
I would do that. But whatever you guys want to do.
We're going. Wow. Wow. I mean, okay.
Yeah.
High five. High five.
So the Strange Magic IPA from Fatheads.
Good old boy, Mike.
We are rating a 5.
I hope Mike likes this episode.
Well, it is his brewing company.
That's true. So speaking of that,
I see him on the can.
We need to talk about the elephant in the room. So the Fatheads.
Good old boy, Mike.
Logo.
Ooh, it kind of freaks me out. Yeah, there's something about it I've never quite liked, and I'm not sure what it is. It might be because it reminds me of somebody I know.
Yeah.
Who he's not going to name.
I'm not going to name, but yeah, it's just, it's a little bit weird.
It's kind of like that, you know, redundancy of the creepy clown. All clowns are like creepy, you know?
Yeah.
And so like it's the creepy clown effect.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's a little bit of that in there.
Well, and you know, it kind of looks like somebody from, like, not a character, but it looks like he could be a character on Family Guy or something.
Yeah.
To me.
I can see that.
And I wouldn't want to, like, have these cans out at a party if you had, like, you know, your 83-year-old grandmother.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it would scare her.
Now, these would be good at a kid's party because kids like cartoons.
Yeah, that's true.
It's almost as, you know, kind of unnerving as, like, I'm thinking Against the Grain's Brown Note.
Yeah,
that's just like awful. That's like one of the worst I've ever.
I just can't buy that beer.
But you know what? The beer, if you can get past the can, the beer is delicious.
Solid. Yeah,
it's a really good brown ale. But just talking about it, yeah, I kind of don't want to drink any brown ales for a while. So,
yeah. Well, anyways, okay. So let's move on and let's talk about Sunshine Daydream Session IPA from Hopheads. Now,
is this a song by the Monkees, by the way?
Are you a Daydream believer?
Yeah.
Totally. So this is going to be interesting because this is only 4.9% ABV.
So okay? A new challenge. Can they brew a low ABV?
Right. Beer? So award-winning session IPA with big hop aromas, flavors of citrus, peach, orange, and tropical fruit with a nice light malt backbone. Okay. So this one won the Grand Champion Award of the 2017 National Session IPA Championship. First of all, I didn't even realize there were session IPA
championships.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, hey.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That's almost like being valedictorian of the homeschool class, you know?
That's rude.
I know.
I'm okay.
Sorry. I regret it as soon as I
especially if you're an only child, right?
Yeah.
So rude. Okay, the aroma on
my
this?
Sibling. Wow.
Mm-hmm. The aroma is really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting those peach. Yeah. I'm getting that peach that they mentioned in the description there.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
A little bit of stone fruit going on, but it drinks really well.
It does. You know, I don't mean this in a bad way. It doesn't deliver as much as I think it's going to. When I smell it, I think
it doesn't
deliver as much as I think it's going to, which is a good thing because it's a
doesn't smell beer. Like a 4.9% beer, but it drinks like a 4.9% beer.
Yeah, it's got that light body, crispness, and everything else I want in a low ABV session IPA. You know you're getting a little less here. I mean, there's mm-hmm. less grain in this mm-hmm. one. That's how you get the less alcohol, and it really makes it softer and easier. But if you don't get your hops right, it's going to be all out of whack. But they nailed this. This is still a good tasting beer, even though it's a lot lighter in body.
This would be one if and when we do a lawnmower beer episode. This would really be one to put in there.
Absolutely. I think this stacks up very well against other low ABV session IPAs, the Lagunitas and the...
Yeah, I would say it's better than those because it does still taste like an IPA. It tastes like tastes like a good hoppy beer. And in a 12-ounce can that this thing's in, you could crush the whole six-pack.
100%.
Yeah.
At less than 5%.
Oh, gosh, yes. Like, you know, I get a little hesitant because we've done some episodes on those session IPAs where they're essentially like water with a little bit of hops added. And, you know, if you want hops with water, just go to Lagunitas and get their hop water.
And it's fantastic. Right.
But if that's all you want and that's all you need in the world, then you've got something right there dialed in for you. But this, again, is so well done because the aroma on it gives you this delusion that you're having something really big. Mm-hmm. And then as you're tasting it, you're still getting hops, you're getting malt, like you're getting all the things. Yes, they're dialed down versions in terms of ABV, but you're still getting them. They're still there.
Yep.
And that that really impresses me because it's so hard with a session IPA to have everything balanced well.
Yeah, 100%. This is proof that there's zero reason to drink Mich Ultra, seltzers, freaking anything other than this if you're looking for something about 5%.
Yep.
Yeah. You can definitely have this and this can
stack up. But you're right. So many session IPAs just fall short. So when you get a good one, it really stands out. Mm-hmm. And this is a good one.
I think a lot of people, they just take a regular IPA recipe and try to scale it down.
Yeah, doesn't work.
You got to build the recipe from the ground up. It's its own thing, you know.
Yeah, I was heard a session on a virtual conference, and it was guys from Bell's talking about making Lighthearted.
Yeah.
And they said they couldn't just scale down too hard. It was not a good beer.
Yeah.
They had to start over and try to, you know, give it that family DNA and try to make it taste, you know, with a similar flavors using similar hops, but it was a whole new creation.
And I like Lighthearted too. I think
it's a good one.
Yeah, it is good. I like this better though.
One of the tricks is to, even though it's got some caramel aspect to it, it's more for color than, because I'm not really getting a lot of sweet from that either. You know, it's coming through, it's breaking through really clean.
Just enough to give it a little bit of gold.
And I think it's cool too that we like this one as much as we do after we've just been drinking bigger beers with more flavor. You know, that this one can still, because a lot of times when you in a flight, when you're drinking some, you know, bigger, more flavorful beers, these beers suffer unfairly because, I mean, they are what they are, but like if your mind is already circling around these, you know, 7.1 or 6.3% beers, and now you drop down to 4.9, and it's a big drop.
You know? Yeah, but no, you're right. It's nice. You're right. So for the four hops that are in this beer, there's also Pale Munich Victory, C15, and Carapils in the Malkrist. Yeah, I know, but like, I mean, yes, they're dialed down, but still, that's a decent variety of malts to go you know?
And it's highly, they must have mashed kind of low on the, I don't know, I'm guessing, because it's very well attenuated,
right?
You know?
Yeah. But I think you nailed it on the caramel malt, Reverend Mark. That C15 is perfect. A little color, but it would not change the flavor too much.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to rate. Okay, good, good, good. Yeah, we are going to rate the Sunshine Daydream Session IPA from Fatheads A4.
Go boy, Mike.
Which, rating a session IPA like that.
A four?
I mean, that's
crazy.
Just shows how good it is.
Right.
Because again, a lot of times they just don't get rated as highly because there's just not as much there.
No personality.
Yeah, but within that category, it's at least a four, you know.
100%.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Let's see if they keep this four and up streak going.
Okay. So the last one that we're going to talk about is the Benjamin Danklin IPA.
So this one gets at least a three just off the name. So if it can do something.
So this is loaded up with a lightning rod of lupulin. This celebratory IPA is full of dank aromas and bold citrus, mango, and pine flavors. Proof that God wants us to be hoppy. Okay, 7.4% ABV with Chinook Warrior, Citra, and Simcoe hops, and only two malts, Caramel Light and Carapils.
Interesting. Definitely get the Simcoe. I mean, and again, it's crazy, like, a completely different beer from all the other ones.
Yeah, they're really pushing the resiny dankness on this one. So much more than the others, but also fantastic. Yeah. How do these guys do it? This is amazing.
Yeah, it's not too dank. It's dank, but not too dank.
That's right. It's just dank right.
Right? I mean, I'm really... You know, I was worried coming into this because I knew that the majority of these beers were IPAs. And I'm thinking they're all going to eventually taste the same at some point.
Not at all.
But no, they are all have their own uniqueness, which is really cool. And for this one being like having lupulin powder in it.
Yeah, I like it.
This is nice.
Really nice. Super solid.
Okay. Well, for the last one, the Benjamin Danklin IPA from Fatheads, we are going to rate this one a four.
Go
Yeah, you tricked me.
What a great flight this has been.
Nice job. Thank you for all these great beers.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. We hope you enjoy this episode because we certainly did.
It was great.
If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Give it a little tappy.
Tap that subscribe button. The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, or Uncle Larry play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes.
And we would love your feedback if you can reach out to us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com.
Our daily tasting notes fill out on Twitter every day at Sip Sud Smokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands of other fans. Those fans on those social media platforms.
Do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. 5 stars. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well.
Good old boy, Kendall. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, I am. You're welcome. It was great being here. This was a fantastic flight. I am very impressed with Fathead's Brewery.
Good boy, Mike.
Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermix3.com. Also on Instagram.
Reverend Mark. Thank you so much.
Blessings.
For being here.
Thank you. Such a good session.
Good old boy, Dave.
Yeah, bye.
This is good old gal, Juliana. Go try some Fatheads.
Good old boy, Mike.
It's really, really good. Keep on chugging, and we'll catch you next time.
We love you, Mike.
One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.